Welcome back to the Law of Attraction Secrets Podcast. I'm your host, Natasha Graziano, and today in the studio, we have an absolute hero. This guy is known as one of the wealthiest salespeople in the world. He is super advanced when it comes to sales training. Seventh has actually been ranked the top B2C sales company in the U.S.,
We're the largest business-to-consumer sales training company in the world based on annual revenues.
In the world, people, not just in the U.S. Let's go bigger than that. You're going to learn all about sales today. You're going to learn all about persuasion. You're going to learn all about how to train your team. You are going to learn from an absolute G, somebody who I am personally super inspired by, and I'm so excited to have him here today. Welcome to the show, Jeremy Lemina.
Is that what you say to every sales trainer on your show?
I've never had one.
Okay, all right. I'm just making sure. Wait, thanks for having me on the show. I love California. Governor Newsom, please lower your tax rates. I would definitely move my entire company here. Those taxes are too high.
I can actually agree with that, really. Like, I love Cali, but the fucking taxes.
Could be trouble.
Yeah, literally.
Could be trouble.
No, Arizona's amazing, though. It's really beautiful.
Especially, look, if you're wanting to come to Arizona, always come like June 15th to August 15th. Weather is perfect. No, it's scorching hot in the summer. Do not come
Don't
in the summer.
Don't go in those dates.
July and August, no bueno. June, no bueno. But the other 8 or 9 months out of the year, it's like a paradise.
We love it. Yeah. Okay, let's get into it. How did you build this empire?
I wouldn't say I did. You have to have the right team. You know, I think, in the beginning, you have to kind of, it just depends on your financial situation when you start your own thing, right? So I had a little bit of capital to work with. I was already retired. And
you were already retired?
Yeah. I had an 18-year sales career, retired back in 2018, 2019.
And if I'm right, you were doing seven figures a year as a sales rep.
Yeah. I was... Did financially well as a salesperson, invested it well, and retired. And then people always told me in my career, like, you need to start your own sales training company. You need to do this. You need to do that. And I was like, I don't know if I want to do that. But then I just started seeing like ads on like social media, like other sales trainers. And I'm like, if I sold the way that guy says to sell, I would have made like 95% less in my sales career. Like, that is horrible. And so I felt like I had an obligation.
Right.
So I jumped in and here we are. You know, first year, wasn't the greatest. I probably lost $600,000 or $700,000 my first year.
Oh my God.
You know, but then we started to figure it out. It was just me and my assistant for my job. I was like, hey, I'm starting this company. Do you want to come work for me? She's like, I'm in. Me and Beth, she's still there.
Wow.
And, now we have 120 some employees.
That was 17 years ago?
No, that was after I retired when I started Seventh Level.
Right.
So that was my first employee. It was my assistant for my job.
My God. But you've been doing this for 17 years.
Well, sales training company, we started in almost 2020. So it's been a little bit over five. It's about 5.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But you've been in the whole game for, a while.
I had a little bit of a good career. It was a lot of fun. And I'm just having way more fun now. You know, it's fun. But it's like you got to build it piece by piece because you got to take what like you're really strong in. And sometimes that first year, you got to do a lot of things. You got to wear a lot of different hats. Mm-hmm. But as you generate more cash, you've got to be able to bring in people that are really, really good at things you suck at, right?
I can agree with that.
The CEO of the company. Did I really have the skill sets to be a CEO? I could if that was my thing, but I wasn't passionate about that. Like, I'm passionate about training, obviously, selling, recruiting, those type of things,
right.
Getting people to move, you know, persuade. But, you know, we brought in, a good CEO. We started, we need somebody to operate the business, COO, we've got a VP of this, marketing and all of a sudden things started to come together and we're just, having a little bit of fun, trying to get better every day,
I love that. I always say that. I say, just go for being 1% better every single day.
Yeah.
Don't try and go to 100%. Don't try and be Jeremy Lee Miner today. Like, that's not going to happen for some of you. You need to go 1% every single day. Just get better, do better, get better, be better every single day.
Yeah. You are who you put in here. Mm-hmm. Sigmund Freud said it best. So I went to school to become a psychologist.
Did you?
That's a whole nother life.
But it's very useful into what you do today because of the language.
Yeah, it's how I had an advantage when I got into sales. So I got into sales, I got married, I'm divorced now, but I got married, I was 21, had a kid on the way, my beautiful daughter Cam is 24 now, and I had to get a job, straight commission. And so it was door-to-door sales selling alarms. And so when I got on the door, most door-to-door salespeople, like when a door gets slammed in their face, they're like, not interested. They're like, oh man, this neighborhood sucks. Or like, you know, they get pissed off at the person, right? But I'm thinking in my mind, because I specialize in like neuropsychology, which is the study of your brain.
I know about it. I love this.
Your brain works in conjunction with mm-hmm. your nervous system. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you've heard of like fight or flight, right?
Absolutely. So like, literally yeah. what I teach.
So if somebody like slams a door or hangs the phone mm-hmm. down on you, that's them going into flight. So you're triggering that reaction based off what you're saying or how your tone is coming across. It could be your body language in person that's triggering their nervous system to react that way. So when I would have that happen to me when I first started in sales, because I didn't know what I was doing, I started looking at it differently. I'm like, oh, well, what did I say? Or like, how did my tone sound here? Like, how was I standing that triggered them to feel unsafe and slam the door on me? And so I'm like reverse engineering, like, how do I prevent that from happening? And, you know, gave me an advantage in sales for sure.
I love that. Let's get into that a bit. Because, look, persuasion is everything. So are you really good at cold calling? Are you good at the warm calls? Like, where's your expertise? Because language is everything. Like, when someone picks up the phone, within 3 seconds, the person is going to decide whether they trust, like, and know you, or whether they give a fuck, or they're going to hang up the phone.
Do you know why? That's true.
No, I don't. But tell me why.
What's going on in their brain? Mm-hmm. So your brain, the way God wired us, you know, we'll find out one day, is you have a survival part of your brain. A lot of scientists call it like the reptilian part of your brain. Okay. So that part of your brain doesn't recognize words. Mm-hmm. It recognizes patterns mm-hmm. and it recognizes tonality. Mm-hmm. Okay. So if you ever get like a telemarketing call, mm-hmm. right? And they're like, hi, my name is, I'm with mm-hmm. XYZ company. Well, your brain is going to recognize it sounds like a salesperson. Mm-hmm. Sound. Notice they say sounds like. Mm. The survival part of the brain is not interpreting the words yet. That goes up to your midbrain, mm-hmm. and then your neocortex says, oh, here's what the words mean. Salesperson, like not interested. And that can happen in like 5-6 seconds. So what happens is your brain hears that sound. So like if you're walking across the street, okay, to the grocery store, and you hear a woman scream like, ah, what's your first thing you do? You're like this. That's your survival brain saying like, am I safe?
Yes, yes, yes.
Because you heard the voice, that tone sounds like danger.
Yeah.
Survival part of your brain is to keep you alive, right?
I get it.
So you're reacting. You didn't even hear what she said. Then that goes to your midbrain. Your neocortex says, oh, she's just telling her son to be safe walking across the street. I'm good. But see, that's a triggered reaction. Your nervous system is triggered based on her tone. Mm-hmm. So if I can reverse engineer that, it doesn't matter. Like companies, salespeople come to us for cold calling, booked appointments, outbound. It doesn't really matter. Like in my 18-year career, I sold in 4 different industries, 2 business to consumer, 2 business to business. So, you know, it's just really, it's like working with human behavior. It doesn't matter what it is. So like when you had Joe on here, which is one of our coaches, you know, is a client of ours. You know, he came to us, I think he sold like commercial insurance to trucking companies or whatever, you know, but then he can switch a job and go sell like cars, or he could go sell, you know, SaaS to companies.
Because he can use the training.
Because he uses the principles that we teach him in the psychology, and we train salespeople how to recognize patterns in the prospect's tonality, body language.
Hey, let's go into it. Somebody right now is just, they want to know how to sell. They want to be the best salesperson ever. In fact, everybody listening, if you have a product or a service, you should be the best salesperson.
Well, sales is everything.
Like everything.
It doesn't even matter if you're a salesperson. Like everyone in the world, what's the number one thing that you have to learn if you want to make impact, if you want to get your way, if you want to do anything, because everybody's out persuading, convincing, trying to move others all the time, right? Like if you're an employee who's trying to get your boss to give you a pay raise, what are you doing? Trying to persuade, you're trying to influence, you're trying to move them. If you're a boss or an entrepreneur, a business owner, and you're trying to get your team to catch the vision of where you want to go, what are you doing? You're trying to persuade, influence. If you're a politician trying to get people to vote for you, you're trying to persuade, influence. Like an attorney trying to get, a teacher trying to get your kids home. Mm-hmm. Like everything is persuasion. Doesn't matter if you get paid for it. So this thing called communication is the number one thing you have to master if you want to get ahead of your life. Like think about anybody, like Elon Musk, for example. Was he the only person that had the concept of the electric car? Unlikely. He just knew how to communicate his message much better than anybody else. Jeffrey Bezos, was he the only person that had the concept of Amazon? Unlikely. He just knew how to communicate his message better. So, yeah, so it all comes down to communication.
Okay, let's really dive into that. Give me the top three tips on how someone can be more persuasive in a conversation.
The first thing is, I'm going to go back to Sigmund Freud. Okay, you said it best. So are you familiar with like NLP?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so NLP.
Neuro-linguistic programming for anybody that doesn't know. So,
you know, they use this, the verbiage of like framing, reframing, deframing, but where did those terms come from? They actually come from Sigmund Freud. They come from Milton Erickson. Like, right. Talking like psychiatrists, psychologists, very, very famous. That's where NLP comes from, okay? So Sigmund Freud said, people do who they believe they are. Let me repeat that. People do make decisions based on who they believe they are, their identity. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does
make
sense.
Who they believe they are.
Right.
If you're a, I just want to ask everybody, in society, how are salespeople viewed in general? High status or low status?
Annoyingly low status.
Low status, right? Because of the way most have been taught to communicate or sell. So you already know the prospect already views you at a lower status, right?
So annoying.
That's their identity of what they think you are. So in psychology, that's called a frame. That's a belief system. So society has a belief system or frame that you're bad, you're trying to manipulate and do something. So I, if I already know that as a salesperson, how do I reframe that way of thinking? How do I, instead of qualifying, so many salespeople are like, oh, you got to qualify the prospect. I'm like, that's the lazy way to sell. That just tells me you haven't learned how to sell yet. But, oh, they weren't qualified. No, you can train, like you can teach the prospect. You can literally build the prospect into the identity of the person who becomes a buyer. That's called identity framing.
Okay? So you take them out of that frame and you bring them in.
You reframe your them. Frame. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's your frame because, you know, here's the question. You know, selling something you do to people or selling something you do for people? It's for people, because if you have a belief system, you're doing it to them. Like you're manipulating, like it's a bad thing. When you go to close, you're always gonna have anxiety. You're gonna feel nervous, right? Your nervous system, because it's bad. But if I have this belief system, I'm doing this for this person, which I am, because look, if they don't buy, I can't solve their problems. I can't get them the results they really want. Now, why do people not buy? Because they have a fear of change. That's just in our human nature. So they have to give you money first before they see what change means, right? So that's scary for people. So how do I help them overcome the fear of change? I build them into the identity of the person who's not afraid of change, who is a forward thinker, who is smart, right? So I build them into the identity of the person who becomes the buyer. So the first thing, the tip, is you have to learn how to change people's belief systems or frames on the dot. So like, let's say that one of my salespeople is on with a person that wants to sell more.
Yeah.
And they ask them like what they feel like they're, the reason why they're not selling that much. And that person's like, well, the leads are bad. So that's their belief system. Like, has nothing to do with my skill level. It's the leads are bad. So if my rep can't take them out of that belief system, which is not serving them, because it's not the leads, it's the skill, and reframe them into like, maybe there's something you're saying or not asking that's causing them to be bad leads. There's no deal there. I can't help them.
Right.
So let's say your industry, like your industry is like motivation, like you're, you have coaching programs. Give me like a coaching program you have and I'll show you how to do that.
Okay, so we have a coaching program where we help someone become the number one authority in their field. So I help them go from like zero to hero online and actually get eyeballs, be recognized, be positioned as the number one authority in their field.
Okay, so you're really, at the end of the day, you're selling the result of what all that does, which is to grow their brand, which grows their business and drives more revenue and makes them more money. That's really what you're selling. That's the end result. So let's say if it's a booked call. Let's say it's a booked call. They show up with your rep on Zoom. Okay, they see one of your ads, they book in. What would most salespeople say first words out of their mouth?
Hi, how are you?
Hi, how are you doing? Now, think about what the prospect interprets that as.
They're trying to get really familiar with me.
That you really genuinely care about how their day's going.
Unlikely, right? Just because they see you as a lower status.
Because see, your prospects are, once again, their brain reads patterns. And what pattern would they typically pick up from most salespeople that have ever tried to sell them anything? Same similar questions at the beginning. How are you doing today? How's it going? Where do you live? How's the weather over there? Did you see the game? Like, these are questions they know you're trying to build rapport So you're going to notice that some A types will be like, hey, can we just, I don't have much time. They're going to get triggered quick. If you're not an A type, your personality will be like, you're going to start to emotionally shut down. And when the salesperson asks questions, you're going to kind of go surface level. And you're going to give the salesperson vague, generalized surface level answers because you know where those questions lead.
Right.
So right when I get on there, like, what's a belief system that every prospect has? Like, when the salesperson first starts talking to you, okay, selling you anything, what's probably one of the first questions that you start to think about? How much is this going to
cost me?
Why does your brain go there, though?
Because I'm immediately going, okay, if I want to be the number one, how much is this going to cost me?
Yeah, yeah. But you think, like, would society probably ask the same question?
Yeah. Everything?
Yeah. So we're conditioned because we're marketed to all the time.
Yep,
right?
Exactly.
So you wake up in the morning, besides going to the bathroom, you mm-hmm. pick up your phone. What's the first thing you do? You get on your social.
Yeah.
You start seeing ads trying to sell you something. So it starts right when you wake up.
Or in a text, you get ads.
Yeah, ads. Okay. You walk into the living room. Maybe you turn on the TV or something to see the weather, whatever. You see commercials trying to sell you something. Get in your car. Maybe turn on the radio. Radio ads trying to sell you something. You drive down the road. Billboards trying to sell you something. So you're constantly being marketed mm-hmm. to all the time. So your brain has these defensive mechanisms in it. Mm-hmm. So anytime you feel like somebody's trying to sell you, your guard goes up. So if your rep is on with a potential client, we already know that that potential client is already asking how much it's going to cost in their mind, okay, right when they get on there. So how do I, that's a belief system, that's a frame. How do I take them out of that frame? That's called a deframe.
Deframe.
And then how do I reframe them? That's the process into a new belief system or a new frame. So how do I take them out of price or cost-based thinking and reframe them into results-based thinking? So let me give you an example for industry, okay? Okay, so you get on there. Now, did they fill out an application? Would they know anything about them before they get on?
Yeah, they'd fill out an app, okay. Which would basically say how many employees they have, how much they spent on personal development before.
And I would never take their word for anything they wrote down because it's usually not going to be true. It's usually
going
to be the surface. Yeah, I mean, you got to remember, it's always the surface. Maybe a laydown's going to tell you the truth, but how many times have you filled something out and maybe you didn't tell everything about you because you're a little bit guarded? You're like, why did they know this? So you always got to find out. You got to dig deeper, right? So let's say I get on there. I'm like, I'm looking down. Okay. So I got your, Natasha, hey, welcome to the call. I got your app here. So looks like you booked on the calendar about maybe, hey, getting some help with really growing your brand so you can scale your company, right? You're going to go, right.
Yeah.
So even that first little question I asked, looks like you booked on the calendar about, hey, looking at maybe ways to grow your brand so you can scale your company, right? What am I doing? I'm starting to reframe them, starting
like
to reframe
you are looking
out
for
of price
it.
Or cost-based thinking to what's the end result of what you do. Build the brand to scale your business.
That's so interesting because when I go on stage, my opening thing, and I'm known for like my massive opens, like big speeches, I go out there and I ask them instantly, who here wants to? Instantly, like, who's ready to make a bigger impact? Who's ready to do? I get everybody standing up, jumping, like, in it, deciding.
Yeah.
And then nobody leaves. My retention rate with the speech is fucking high.
You know why? Because what
I'm
doing
amazing.
Is what's called... I love that.
I am.
I love your mindset. I'm losing my... I love your mindset. You're using what's called a pattern interrupt. So you're interrupting the pattern. So typically, what... It's the same thing. What would people in an audience be used to most speakers doing right when they come out on stage? Hey, how's it going?
Yeah.
How's the town? I love it here.
Yeah.
And so they just tune out because they recognize the pattern. So what you're doing there, going right into a question, stimulates their brain. It triggers curiosity and it triggers the mystery of like, why is she asking me that with some people? So anytime you trigger curiosity, you trigger another human being to have like you're kind of a mystery. It's so engaging. It's like the novel, like the mystery novel you want to read. It, like it's a little girl, like a romance novel.
Right.
It's like triggering it. Or like the show, your favorite. Like, oh my gosh, like what's going to happen? You know, it's the same thing. They're interrupting your pattern. So like when I go out on stage, I do it a little bit differently. Now I have a lot of different pattern reps. I might come out on stage. I do this one a lot. This is the silent pattern rep. And I'll walk out on the stage and let's say there's 5,000 people out there and I'll just go to the end of the stage and I'll just stand there.
Oh, wow, the silence one.
And I'll look.
Oh, my God, that's so good.
Sometimes I'll do that for 30 seconds.
Really?
You know,
you're so
does.
Comfortable
everybody's
in that
like,
silence.
Ooh. Like, it's your physiology. Because you're like, you know, it's how you carry yourself, right?
Right.
That's going to determine that, your physiology. So, like, you'll notice, like, people start putting down their phones. They're like, what's going on? Like, you can see the tension. So the silence triggers tension, wow, internal tension. Nobody leaves. And they're like, shit. You know, and so then
what's
I'll walk
he gonna
out.
Do?
Then I'll walk out. I'm still silent. Haven't said a word. I walk off the stage into the audience. I have a microphone in my hand, and I might come out and say, what do you sell? And they're like, insurance.
Wow, I've never seen that.
Why should I go with you? And in their face, and people are like, you should go with me because I can, and just like, bam, right in your face. Now that's one panorama. Now I might, at another place, because I'm not going to do the same thing all the time, in case they've seen me before, I might go out and I might be silent for 5 or 10 seconds, walk out into the crowd, and then I just start in. And I might be like, it was December 5th, 2010. I was walking down and I go right in, the date and the start of a story triggers like, shit, curiosity. See, so I'm always interrupting patterns. And I might do that, you know, I'm always interrupting patterns the entire sales call or the entire sales conversation, or if I'm speaking to an audience. Like if I see, like, cause you can get, once you get on, cause I'm only on stage, like I'll be on the stage maybe 40% of the time, there's 60, like I'm in the audience. Just wow. Keeps them, it keeps them on their toes, yeah. Cause they don't know if you're gonna like come up with them and like talk to them. So they're just like frozen, like they're talking, right? If you stay on stage the whole time, sometimes they can try to tune out, you know? So like if I notice like a group here way over to my left, right? Let's say there's an audience of 1,000. I notice a group way on the left. I notice they're not engaged. Well, what am I gonna do? You know, I might ask a question to the audience. I'm like, all right, I see you guys over there. What's going on? Now, you didn't raise your hand. It's not really happening to you guys. And I'll like come over there. Wow. Like, no, like this.
You break the pattern.
I'm always breaking the pattern. Or like, let's say if I can see that, you know, cause I'll ask the owner of the event or whatever. I'll be like, hey, who are your VIPs in the first two rows? And most of my speaking gigs are companies that bring me in to like train, yeah. You know? And so they'll be like, oh, the first two rows, these are all like our top salespeople. They each make, you know, $500,000 a year or whatever. So I know with this group, they're gonna have this mindset of like, I know everything, I don't need any help compared to everybody else. So like if I notice a couple people there, I see a couple guys with Rolexes or whatever, and they're kind of like, they're just kind of like, they're not like really in it. I might walk by as I'm going out in the crowd and as I'm talking, and I might just stop and like tap a guy on the shoulder and be like, nice watch, I like that. And he's like, oh yeah. And now all of a sudden, I got the ringleader all excited. Now the ringleader's like, yeah, everything I say now. So I'm like always looking for the facial expressions and the body language. So
you're good at this. This is so good.
It would be pretty bad if we were a sales training company and bad at
it. That's why you're the best. I get it. Okay, so if somebody picks up the phone, we're avoiding doing the how are you, how's the weather, did you watch the game? Mm-hmm. We're breaking the pattern and we're taking them out of their frame and hopefully into yours.
Constantly always doing that. Yeah, well, it's to help them. Remember, I'm not doing this to them.
I'm doing this for them.
Yeah. Like, have you ever, so like Tony Robbins example. Mm-hmm. So like, have you ever seen that... that one thing they have, you know, he does the interventions where people might stand up and like, hey, I want to commit suicide.
Yeah.
You ever seen the guy where he did it on the guy with the red shoes? He's like, is it because you're fucking shoes?
Oh yeah. I'm not your guru.
I want you to think about this. So Tony's thinking like, how do I help this guy get out of this belief system frame on why he wants to end his life? So what Tony knows he has to do, because you can tell when Tony walks up to him, the guy's like shaking, he's like nervous, he's like, I don't like myself. Like, so if he keeps him in that frame, it's really hard for him to help him overcome it. So notice what he did. Tony's brilliant at this because he can take, none of this is scripted. He just goes out there and like he sees what he sees and he makes do with it. So he obviously knows it's the red shoes. And so the first thing Tony Robbins says out of mouth is like, is it because you're fucking red shoes? And the guy goes down like this. And
he's out of his frame.
He interrupted his pattern. So he's starting to deframe him. That's just a deframing
technique.
You know,
he never wear the red shoes again.
It was a deframing technique.
It was a deframe.
And he looked down, everybody laughs. And he starts laughing. And he's like, and his whole physiology starts to change. And now he's more open, and Tony starts to reframe him into new belief systems. That's an example of a pattern.
Right? That is so good. Pattern interrupts everything. Yeah. I'm obsessed with it. Like, there's books on it.
Yeah, I love going to... you know, to his events. Like, I went to his date with Destiny in December. I'm sitting there for 5 days. I'm like, oh, that was a really good frame technique there. Oh, okay, I see what you did. So I'm like, you know, just taking all this.
You see it.
I just love it.
So you said earlier how it's all about the mindset. It's all about here. It's like you know, everything is in the mind. I want to dive into this more.
Yeah.
Who we believe we are. Like, if your I identity. Go on a call, I will close you 100% of the time because, okay, yes, it's my product.
Yeah.
But I know if I was selling ice, I would sell it to the fucking Eskimo.
You have certainty in your tone, right? That comes from your belief systems that you can truly help them. Yeah, so the certainty is one thing you have to have. Now, what increases certainty? Skill level. Think about it, for example. If I'm a neurosurgeon, and let's say somehow magically I skipped half of medical school, and I go into my first surgery,
you're not gonna feel
good. What's my certainty? I'm gonna feel like, oh, I don't know what I'm doing.
Right.
So many salespeople like that, they get into sales, they're like, well, once I get into sales, then I'll learn how to do it.
Yeah.
Tell me what profession you can do that in the world where you're like, once I get in the job, I'm gonna, like if I'm an engineer, well, once I get the engineer job, then I'm gonna learn how to build the bridge. That could be pretty dangerous. Or the military, you know, we're not gonna do boot camp, like we're just gonna drop you off in a helicopter in Afghanistan. Duck, you know, like something could go wrong there. So sales is the only profession.
You can do that?
That people can get hired with no experience, but that's why most salespeople suck. Like they literally like have this attitude like, oh I can, like, it's the only, like, what other profession do you not learn how to do it before you start doing it? Mm. Now, it doesn't mean that once you get on the job, you get much better at it. But, like, if you're a police officer, you kind of have to go through academy for a while before you go out on the street, right? Any profession. There's no other profession where you're just like, yeah, I'm going to get hired and I'll figure it out, right? But that's why salespeople have the highest attrition rate out of any industry, because they go in with zero skill level, thinking and hoping and praying they're going to figure it out, which hurts the business because now, you know, if they're giving them leads or whatever, they're just blowing through leads. So, you know, you want to learn some of the stuff even before you get into sales. So when you start, you actually succeed. 100%. Hey, crazy idea, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe the boss is like, wow, this new person's really good. Well, they kind of learned at least some basic stuff before they got on the phone or knocked on the door or, you know, talked to that company. So the first thing is that certainty.
Okay.
Your identity. Second thing is you got to have skill level to go with that. People always say, Jeremy, I get off stage, people, the number one question people have is, Jeremy, how do I get more confidence as a salesperson? I look at them like, gain more skill level? What are you talking about? Like, if I want to have high confidence, if I want to have confidence up here, how can I have high confidence with a low skill level?
Just calm.
In anything. Because if you have a high skill level, typically that gives you confidence because you know what you're doing, right? Your skill level, speaking, you've been trained how to do it, right? You weren't just born out of your mother's womb with like, I am like the perfect speaker. You might've been born charismatic,
kind of
right?
Much, but...
Charismatic, but you've obviously been trained on like, okay, I need to go left here,
right
here.
Right. I've studied my craft.
Like people are born with an ability.
Yeah.
But for them to like be a master at it, they have to learn technique.
100%.
Right? Everybody's born with some type
of
ability.
You're right.
But you master it and you're committed to mastery, you have to learn technique.
Well, that's what Einstein said.
Yeah.
Seclude yourself away from the world and go and hone in on your craft and be the best at who you are.
Yeah.
Go out there and be the fucking best of who you want to be and be them today.
Yeah.
And decide, like, that's who I'm going to be and I'm going to be the best at, but you have to go and learn your skills.
Yeah, committed to mastery.
Yes.
I always say there's four types of people in life. Four types of salespeople, four types of business owner, four types of parents, four types of anything. You got those who wing it. Those are the wingers, right? So they, in sales, they would say something different to every prospect. They don't know what works.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know what doesn't work. And when they don't make a lot of sales, who do they typically blame? The leads, the prospects.
Other people, they point outside.
Right. They never look at their own lack of skill level. Most of those salespeople typically get fired, right?
Right.
Think about all the unsuccessful people in life. Wingers.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of wingers out there. Mm-hmm. Then you have those who dabble in it. We call those the dabblers, right? So in sales, they might buy a few sales books a year. Maybe they go to an event. Maybe they follow like me on, you know, some basic content on IG or YouTube or LinkedIn or something. And they believe in the lie that if they just stay in long enough, if they just learn from their mistakes, eventually they'll figure it out. That strategy takes years, if not decades. If you ever become good, halfway good, it's because you work 14 hours a day, play the numbers game, and eventually you burn out. Those are the dabblers.
Mm-hmm.
Think about any profession, wingers, dabblers in that profession. Then you have the know-it-allers, right? These are the worst. Like maybe they invest in sales training, they put a bunch of money into it, they get good, maybe they make, you know, if they're a salesperson or a company, maybe they make $300,000-$500,000 a year, then they get a big head, big ego, think they know everything about persuasion sales, they stop investing in their skill level, they stop training, then their income gets cat. Mm. Then you have those who are committed to mastery, right? So think about that. Those who are committed to mastery, they're always investing in their skill level. They know that training is not something you did in the past. Training is something you do every day if you want to be really good at it, right? And they're the ones that the learning curve's 100x faster. Those are your top 1%.
What are they called?
Or higher, committed to mastery. That's so your group that committed to mastery.
Out of those four, which one are you?
Well, I mean, that's up to the world to decide. But most people
I'm definitely committed to mastery.
People would say I would be committed to mastery.
Yeah, me too.
We wouldn't be here.
Yeah.
So think about any profession in life.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, like the NBA. Somebody makes the NBA with it, like Kobe Bryant. You know, LeBron James. Were they a winger, dabbler, know-it-all, committed to mastery?
Yeah. 1,000,000%.
Best neurosurgeon in the world.
Committed
to mastery.
Did you name these things yourself?
I did.
Oh, they're quite cool.
I came up with these frames.
Are you writing a book?
I've already written some books, yeah.
Oh, great.
We have a Barnes & Noble bestseller called The New Model of Selling to an Unsellable Generation.
Love this. I'm going to put the links below because I feel like everyone's going to want copies of all your books.
Yes. Yeah. Well, books so are great. And I love books. Books are kind of like an overview into what is possible. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I love books. Tell me any profession where you can master it by reading books.
Well, medical, you can learn a lot from books.
You can learn a lot. Can but then you've master gotta, it though?
Well, you got to go practice it.
Yeah.
You got to go do it.
You got to go do it. That's why they have cadavers, right? That's why they have to work on it. That's why they have a medical residency where you have to be there 2 or 3 years to work.
Right.
Because that's how you master it. Mm-hmm. Books are like an overview because, I'll give you an example of this. If I said, what's your favorite song that if I said, sing me this song, you know it word for word, like you sing this song all the time. What's your favorite song? Hey.
The Lion King.
Okay, The Lion King. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, hey, sing Lion King, you know it word for word. Now, what's your favorite book that you read several times?
Oh gosh, The Secret.
Okay, The Secret. Okay. Now, on average, in any book, each page has about 330 words on average. In a song, the average song also has about 330 words.
Is it really?
Yes. So you can memorize the song.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me one page of that book, word for word.
I couldn't.
But why? It has the same amount of words as a song.
Because the melody is sticking in my head. But
because your brain can retain melody and tonality. It can't contain. It can't remember, like 10 to 1, words from a book. That's why, statistically, your brain retains less than 3% of that book within 30 days. Less than 9% within a week. Because your brain cannot, that's why you can't master stuff.
That's why you have to read it multiple times.
Yeah, and it's like you got to hear it.
Yeah.
You have video training.
Well,
you have to video train.
Yeah, people like audiobooks.
Yeah, and audiobooks are good too. The problem with audiobooks is like you have to read the book. You get up there to the thing, you have to read it, you know, blah, blah, blah. So you can't like emphasize like, okay, when you say this here, you got to pause and then talk a little bit fast. Like you can't, when you're doing the audio, it's just a little bit different. So
I get it.
Yeah.
Oh my God, this is so good. Stuff. Okay, do you believe in the law of attraction? Because it happens whether or not you do or not. Like it happens, it's all around us, it is.
Yeah.
But what's your thought on it? And do you know anything about it?
I've watched The Secret. I love personal development. I'm, even though I dropped out of school with 8 credits left, so I never finished because I started making too much money as a salesperson. As a psychologist. So I think as a psychologist. So I think your mind is very powerful, obviously. So you, like, it comes back to your identity, right? If I believe I'm successful, my identity is a person who is successful. I do the things successful people do.
Mm-hmm.
On the flip side, if I believe that I'm a victim, if I believe that I can't do something, I do things that unsuccessful people do.
Mm-hmm.
So in my, we probably say it differently, but that's the way my brain thinks. So like people that say like, I've been sober for 30 years. You know, I'm an alcoholic, I've been sober for 30 years. No, your identity is that you are still an alcoholic. So you more than likely will relapse because you still believe in your identity as an alcoholic.
Right.
Because you say that.
Right.
But if I say, you know, I just, you know, I just don't drink because I don't like to drink. That's now my new identity. So you people do who they believe they are. It comes back to that. You're always going to make decisions based on who you believe you are as a person.
I say similar quote. I say, you don't attract what you want. You attract what you are. Yeah. It's the same in relationships. Yeah. Like, people want a relationship with somebody who is this incredible being. And I'm like, bitch, who are you being? You attract what you are. You don't attract what you want. You want a wealthy man. You want a really successful guy. You want a loving, kind, nurturing man. What are you being?
What are you doing?
Yeah. Like, literally, you attract what you are. That's why I only attract the best.
Yeah. I could see that.
Like, no, I'm super. Yeah. I work on myself.
Yeah.
And if I'm bad in an area, I want to be better.
You're committed to mastery.
Yeah. And okay, we're
so
not perfect.
You could be committed to mastery in sales, persuasion, business, relationships. Think about the best. Think about your, let's say, your friend that has the best relationship ever. They probably are committed to that relationship, so they learn how to be better at the relationship.
So true.
You know, or like the person that's really committed to their religion or their spirituality. They're more committed to mastering that, and so that's why they're really good at that.
You're right.
You know? That's all you have to do if you want to be great at something. To mastering.
Well, your energy goes where your attention is.
Yeah, 100%.
Literally flows there. Like, if you spend time on something you love, you can see it. And when you have chaos in your life, it's because you don't put attention there.
Yeah.
Like, when I see, okay, that's crazy. So I just moved house, and I'm like, why is there a million boxes outside in this one area?
Yeah.
And why is the garden just still crazy? Because I'm not putting my attention there.
Yeah.
So I'm focusing on everything else. Mm-hmm. So I paused and I was like, okay, I'm going to go and deal with my garden, and I'm going to make it really nice, and I'm going to grow peaches and oranges.
There you go. Yeah. See, it's the same thing. Like, you know, if you're in a relationship, you can be a dabbler in it. Where you just
this is so interesting.
Or you just kind of wing it, or I think I'm the best.
Oh, I don't make any
mistakes. I'm a know-it-all. That is my identity. And so your whole life, everything that happens to you is because of your decisions. Your decisions come from who you believe you are.
Right.
Your identity.
Right.
It's all that. So do I believe in secret? Yes. I probably say it maybe differently than what you do.
Oh, this is crazy. So interesting. I love that. Okay. Somebody wants to be a multimillionaire today. Mm-hmm. You know, you sit here now and you've built this unbelievable empire with the people, you say. You know, it was a team, it took a village.
Sure. Yeah.
But you are who you are. You've created a multi whatever number that is business. Big empire.
Sure.
How does somebody, what's their morning ritual? What should that look like? As in, if they want to be like you, how did they get there?
I don't necessarily think it's a, like, you have to wake it up at a certain time, whether that's
that you're saying that, because when people say it's like the 5 a.m. club, I'm like, for you.
Yeah, I think it's just, I think it doesn't matter, like, what time you wake up at or whatever. Like, I've seen, I'm friends with like two billionaires, and they have completely different schedules, but yet they're still billionaires. But what I do see is I recognize patterns.
Mm-hmm.
So patterns I see in very, very successful people and friends that I hang out with is that they have routines and they stick to the routines. Okay. So let's say if you wake up at like, I'm a 5 a.m.er, that's why it works, because that's your routine. So you wake up at 5, like, I'm a 5 a.m.er because I like want to go to the gym before I go into work.
But I love the fact that you don't feel like, because I wake up at 5, you must.
That's
like, that's
not how
so
you're successful.
Yeah,
like, right. I have friends that wake up at 9 or 10 in the morning that are really successful.
Really?
But they have a routine.
Mm.
Yeah, they have a routine. So they might work later, or maybe they do something different. They're more creative. So they don't have to work as many hours. So
I
think just having a routine, almost like a factory. And it's like Kobe Bryant. I mean, look at Kobe Bryant's life. Like, he was very structured. So even after they lost a game, what's he out there doing? He's like, I have to shoot 100 free throws or whatever after every game, win or loss. And he just stuck to the freaking routine, okay? So, like, sticking to that routine, it's pretty hard to not be really, really successful. But that's because you're committed to mastery. There's some days I wake up and I'm like, I don't really feel like doing this. But I know I have to stick to that routine because I'm still mastering this stuff.
What is your routine? I love
I wake up at 5 because I have I go to the gym at 5:30. So I have a group class. There's like 5 of us guys.
Wow.
Then on Wednesdays, I go to a CrossFit class at a different gym. So that's at 5:30. So I'm done by 6:30.
Oh, my God.
Come back. I get ready, okay, so I'm ready by, like, let's say 7:15 or something. Then I drive over to my ex-wife's house to see my little daughter. So we, like, hang out for, like, 30 minutes before she goes to school, or eat breakfast or
that
whatever.
That is
right,
so sweet.
Yeah. And we live 8 minutes apart, so I'm like, you got to be close to my little girl. And then I'll go in the office probably around 8:15, and, you know, depending on what's on my calendar, like, there's some training calls that I do on, like, Mondays and Tuesdays. Then other days I'm doing more content, you know, podcasts, stuff like that. Just, you know, speaking engagements. It just depends. And that's my, I mean, there's, It's just based on my calendar, but usually I'm out of there by 5. Some days I'll leave by 4. Some days I'll be like, you know what, I've got to stay here, or I've got, you know, I've got my senior vice president I had to meet with last night here in Hollywood. He's based out of Australia. Okay, so he does a lot of the events with me, our internal events where he's like the MC, and we do a lot of pre-framing stuff of the events. So we had to go over an event we have, like how we're gonna frame and everything. So I was meeting him at 8 o'clock at night. So sometimes that's what it is, but it's structured and it's sticking to the calendar, and it's saying a lot of no's when other people come with you to opportunities. Like I have horse blinders on. Like we have 1,000 people a day, 1,000 companies a day that want to say, hey, can you guys, you know, help us with consulting on how to build a brand? Well, that's not our mojo.
Yeah.
So I'm not gonna go out of my lane. Like I would recommend this person or that person, or maybe you for something like that, but I'm not just gonna have money taken from somebody that we are not the best in the world at.
Wow, that is such a gem.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
It takes your brand.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, and it confuses the marketplace. Like I see so many people, you know, in the training industry or whatever it is, like high ticket industry or whatever you want to call it. And it's like, you know, one day they're selling a dating offer, and then 2 years later, now they're selling a crypto offer. And
oh,
it's like
God.
So confusing.
I know.
Who are you? Like, what's your identity?
It's so true.
Like,
it's
we
so
are
true.
A sales training mm-hmm. company. Now, there's other stuff we do on the back end, you know, like we're about to launch a SaaS AI product for companies, for their salespeople. So that, you know,
that's
it's
dope.
The same thing. We're about to open up a recruiting and staffing offer on the back end because, you know, we have, I don't know.
It like, makes sense.
It makes sense because companies
right.
always come to us like, hey, we want to hire, you know, salespeople that are training your methodology. How do we do that? And so I'm like, okay, so we can do, but it makes sense. Like if we started selling like tea kettles, like, it, you know, it's not our mojo.
Yeah.
You know?
I was just asking, me and my mom this morning, asking someone for a tea kettle so that we can have it in the hotel.
I can definitely, I can get you in the right.
Thank you.
I got lots of friends. And I was talking to, to Hormozy the other day. So we were on the phone just mm-hmm. chatting about, I don't know what we're chatting about, but I made this thing. I'm like, okay, yeah, that's like the guy that says that, you know, I help businesses scale to $100 million a year. And he laughs. He's like, yeah, and they only scaled their business to $30 million a year, but now they're training people how to scale theirs to 100. It's like, there's so many non-experts out there saying they can do things they've never done before. Mm-hmm. So I think consumers really need to look like, hey, I want to do this. I want to accomplish this. Has this person or company actually done the thing that I want to happen? Have they actually done it themselves?
Results-based.
Yes.
If don't choose them unless they're results-based.
Yes.
I say that
there's
all the time.
There's so many amateurs out there.
I know.
It's like 99% of everything. It's just like they have a little bit of success and now they're a coach and they have something. And I'm like, you don't have enough experience or knowledge yet. Mm-hmm. Like the biggest thing, like you can try to steal, like let's say you buy all of our training courses, like 40 courses, you copy them word for word. You'll never be to our level because you can't buy my experience and my wisdom that it took and being in the trenches and building that in my brain.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I always will have the advantage times 10 because you can't buy experience or wisdom. I had a 17-year sales career at a high level. It's like Tony Robbins. Go buy all this stuff, try to copy him. You'll never be to his level, not even close, because you don't have his experience and wisdom of putting that together. You won't understand the psychology behind it. It's just words. It comes out inauthentic, not real.
No, I agree. Yeah. So go get the experience and wisdom that y'all need today in order to become the best in your field. On that note, thank you so much for coming in. I've had the best time. I could do this all day. This is one of our longer episodes.
We'll have to do it again.
And for sure.
If they want to learn more about what we do, just have them follow my Instagram.
100%. I was about to say, where can everyone connect with you? Because we're going to put the books below, your Instagram below.
Sure.
But what else can they?
Just go to Jeremy Lee Miner and follow my verified account there and get a book from Barnes & Noble. That's the beginning. And then if they have questions, they can text us. My president said we would give him a free copy of our NAPQ Black Book of Questions.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got a number. Do you want me to give you the number?
Let's give the number and we're going to write it down.
It is 480-637-2944. 637.
Okay, let's do it again.
480-637-2944. Have them text that and say they saw us on the show. And they'll give them a free copy of the NAPQ Black Book of Questions. That book is not sold in stores.
We love that. you're going to get an awesome free gift, The Secrets Inside This. I love
Thanks for having me on.
Thank you so much for coming. You're amazing. Yeah. I've learned so much. So I know someone else out there. And on that note, if you have, make sure you share this episode with a friend. Someone you believe needs to learn. Someone who maybe is in the know-it-all category. Someone who's in the winging it category. The dabbler. They need to be a committed type. They need to be the person who just becomes the best at what they're doing. You can do that in the same way that Jeremy has and built this incredible empire. Thanks so much for coming today.
Thanks for having me on. It's awesome.
I'll see you guys next week.